Okay, so this is the climax of our film, mm-hmm. and the rogues are finally going to face off against the warriors.
Yeah, these are our big top guys. We really got to show, they got to really show up and really like spook the warriors.
Yeah, and that's why I'm thinking we got to come up with the perfect way for the main bad guy to antagonize the warriors.
Okay, yeah.
And I was thinking he could get like a tin can.
Uh-huh.
And be like, hey, bad boy warrior, why don't you come and fight us?
I don't see how that's that scary, though, because it's just tin can.
Okay, well, smarty pants, what do you got in mind?
Okay, so they're on the dock, yeah? Uh-huh. And the bad guys are on one side of the dock, the warriors on the other side. Okay. The one with a really big nose, he bends down, grabs a jug, and starts going.
What? And then what? Somebody breaks out a wash tub bass and they start playing like a country band? Like, that's not scary.
No. Like, the other person would be like, hey, warriors. And then someone could bring out a banjo if we really wanted to. Is this?
I don't think gang members know how to play a banjo.
I mean, it depends on the gang that we're doing. Like, which gang is this gang?
I don't know.
Because it could be a banjo playing gang. It could be the Southern Brothers. And they could be playing jugs and washboards.
Yeah, if like, I don't know, some Appalachian people moved to New York and started a gang there, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, I like the whole warriors thing.
Uh-huh.
What if it was glass?
Uh-huh.
What if it was like...
Warriors, come out to play.
Hey, warriors, come out to play. We just slayed.
The cat.
Slay the cat. Podcast.
Slay the cat is speaking truth. Slay the cat is truth. Here I stop your favorite thing. Slay the cat is juiced. Slay the cat podcast. Slay the cat podcast.
Hello, all you boppers out there. It's time for the
Slay the cat
podcast.
Meow.
Meow. What a dumb beginning. Okay, hey everybody, if you've been listening to our podcast, if you're somehow subscribed to this, you know this podcast used to be called
You Haven't Seen It?
Well, we've decided to change the format of this podcast. It's still going to be the lovable two goofs, Joey and Aaron.
Yay, what's up?
And it's still going to be about movies,
mm-hmm.
but we decided we're going to drop the format of watching movies that Aaron hasn't seen. Because we've been watching a lot of really boring movies and then looking at each other like, how the hell are we supposed to talk about this?
Movies that we don't care to talk about either.
No, not really. Things that I thought would be good and just kind of turned out to be misses
mm-hmm.
for a podcast. They were good movies. Like, I enjoyed watching them, but it's like, I don't know what to say about this.
Yeah, it's just average.
So we've decided to change the format to we're going to talk about any movie we feel like talking about.
So movies that we like, movies that we don't like, things that we have to say about the movies.
Yeah.
Especially if there's movies that we find either controversial or that we have a statement to say about them. Those are kind of the movies that we would like to also add to this, especially even if we've seen them before. So, like, movies that we like or don't like, watching them for this podcast so that we can talk about them.
Yeah, we just don't want to – I think the real reason is we just don't want to limit ourselves.
Yeah.
There's a lot of podcasts out there that do such a niche a subject that they run out of material really fast.
Yeah.
And they don't, they abandon their format, which is fine if the people hosting the podcast are like, you know, have charisma and talent.
But like we do.
I was about to say, but we have neither of those things. So we want to make sure that we have plenty of material. And there's hundreds of thousands of good movies out there that we could do that we'd love to talk about.
Or bad movies.
Yeah. The other day we started talking about Silence of the Lambs, and we both love that movie. Mm-hmm. And I was
but
like,
we could never watch it for this podcast.
For the old podcast.
For the old podcast.
Yes. So we have taken that old podcast. The reason we haven't been here, you haven't heard from us since December, is because we took that podcast, we put it on a little necklace, and we got two little hobbits, and we went to Mordor, and we dropped that podcast into the
fiery pits of Mordor.
Yeah, the fiery pits of Mordor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know.
But
Lord of the Rings.
You can still listen to our back catalog.
Yes. If you'd like to listen to them, they're still available. And we'll still talk about movies that I haven't seen because I haven't seen a lot of movies.
Yeah.
This movie that we're going to talk about first actually is a movie I've never seen before, but I've heard about a lot because this is, I feel like, one of your favorite movies.
No, I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite movies.
He's watched this movie many times since we've been together.
Yeah. I mean, cause it pops up a lot and it's,
and it's his favorite.
I watch a lot of movies. There's movies that I just like to watch a lot, you know, and this is one of them. It's short.
Yeah.
And it's to the point. You totally got me off my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. the reason we're talking about a movie that Aaron hasn't seen is because this was on our schedule anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We were going to do it for you haven't seen this, but now we're just going to do it. We're not really changing our schedule that much.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be some that we had, but most of it's going to be pretty much the same unless there was a movie that we were like, I don't really feel like watching that movie. It's not got a lot of depth to it that we want to talk about. But then we're going to add some movies that we both have watched that we really love or possibly movies that we really don't like and we can talk about them.
Yeah, but we didn't have our schedule planned out that too far in advance anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to tell you what movie we're doing next week. You're just going to have to find that out when we post it.
Yeah.
Okay. That way we don't have to keep up any of our promises.
So if you are waiting on Airheads, we're so sorry.
Yeah. And the format's going to be pretty much the same. We're just going to talk about the movie. We're going to break it down step by step. Then we're going to play a little game at the end. If Erin hasn't seen the movie, I'm going to ask her what she knew about it, what she thought about it. And vice versa. If I hadn't seen the movie, I'll talk about what I thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was pretty much the same thing. So is there anything you want to talk about that we haven't talked about because we haven't been here in a month
and a half? No, not really.
No.
Just it's good to be back.
It's good to be back.
It's good to be back.
It's good. All right. So Aaron, you hadn't seen this movie before.
No, I have not. Also, heads up, the name of this podcast is now Slay the Cat.
Yeah.
Because we have not said that.
It's a play on the famous screenwriting book, Save the Cat.
So,
but no animals are harmed in the making of this podcast.
Mm-hmm. We do not have a cat.
We don't have a cat.
Neither can we slay it.
And even if we did, we wouldn't kill it because we're animal likers. I wouldn't go as far as lovers, but we are animal likers.
Yes. We would not hurt an animal.
No.
On purpose.
So, Aaron, since you hadn't seen this movie before, what did you know about it before we watched it?
So I have heard the Warriors come out to play.
Right.
Because you've played that clip for me several times. I don't remember the little clicking sound.
You don't remember the bottles?
No, I didn't remember that part. And I knew that it involved guys in some type of
guys
vest.
Minus the dolls.
But I didn't know they were specifically gangs.
Okay.
So, watching the movie, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense why they're all dressed the same.
Right.
And I thought this movie was, done in the 80s, but you said it was 72?
79.
79. Okay, okay. So it's almost the 80s.
Yeah, so this is the tail end of the 70s, beginning of the 90s. So,
80s.
I mean, yeah, beginning of the 80s.
So it's starting to get that 80s feel to it. So I could see the 80s creeping into it a little bit, which was fun because I love the 70s. I love the 80s kind of movies.
This is such a great time capsule. This movie, it's all shot on location in New York,
mm-hmm.
and it looks amazing. It's practically a documentary because it's just all these completely unmolested sets.
Yeah.
Well, they're not really sets. It's just New York. They didn't change anything. Like, there's one scene where they have some pinball machines in a subway.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, those would never be there. But, like, besides that, everything else is New York. And this is a Walter Hill movie. He's the director. He's done a lot of good stuff.
Also, a question about New York in this time period. Was New York really heavily ridden with gangs?
I don't know about gangs, but this was still back before New York got completely cleaned up.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, this is when New York was pretty much a hellhole.
Okay.
Yeah. And it would be kind of until the 90s, I think. But I'm not sure. I should have done that research, but I didn't. I just like that part about the movie, about how it's like, this is a documentary.
A little time capsule.
Yeah, like a cool time capsule. Yeah, documentary is a bad word. Time capsule, for sure. And when they shot the movie, they shot most of it at night, obviously. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't just shut down whole streets. So they were kind of like roping off areas. Oh, okay. You know how busy New York is.
Yeah. Well, watching the movie, it felt not busy at all.
Yeah.
But which was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
Because I know that New York has always been a very bustling city.
Yeah.
Even in the 70s.
That never sleeps.
And so to see it so deserted was interesting. I thought it was sets.
Yeah. No, it was, they would rope off the area that they were shooting and people would just like crowd around to watch them make the movie. And mm-hmm. it made it harder to shoot the movie because you got all these like nosy New Yorkers. They're like, what's going on over here? You know,
hey, I'm trying to walk over here. I'm trying to get to work.
Yeah.
Downtown.
Yeah, but of course, New York would never be that desolate, mm-hmm. but it adds to the horror element of this movie, which is really cool. I mean, you could follow this under an action movie,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of works as a horror movie too, because it's scary, because the people you're supposed to be putting your shoes into, they're being stalked.
Yeah.
By like the entire city. And that's scary.
Also, it doesn't feel like a time capsule as in like this is set in in 79 and it is taking place in like that modern time or that time period. It feels like it could be because it never specifies what the actual time period the show is set in. So it could be, I mean, it was filmed in the 70s, but it could be New York in a different time period,
right?
Where gangs are overrunning the city.
Yeah, that's another cool thing about this is it doesn't it has a timeless quality to
it. So it was really fun to watch because you could watch this movie 50 years from now, 100 years from now, and be like, okay, I understand. Like that, there's no, it's not dated. There's no date on the movie.
No.
Which is really awesome.
Yeah, it is.
And I love when movies can do that.
Yeah. And you can tell from the wardrobe that it's very 70s, late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're not really paying that close attention.
But even then, like a lot of the characters, the gangs, the different gangs, their clothes are very, if you know 70s, you can tell. You can pinpoint those little 70s quirks that they have in their costuming and their hair and makeup. But if you were someone that doesn't know time periods, some of them are wearing baseball uniforms.
Yeah.
That's timeless.
Very timeless baseball
uniform. They're wearing leather vests. Like that can be any time period, especially if they're pretending to be like old. Like I thought they were trying to be like Native American kind of esque because one of them was wearing like a little thing around his head and it looked like braids. One of the black warriors.
Oh.
He had some stuff tied around him. He looked more Native American, like, stylized in his costume.
Right.
And the other ones looked more like, it was like a cowboy vest. Mm-hmm. But then on the back, it had the warriors, and it looked more like biker gang.
Yeah.
So it was, it there's no, like, timestamp on it, because it's all kinds of different things.
Yeah, because they had to make everybody look different.
Yeah.
And then some of
the mimes, like, that's anytime.
Yeah, like, a lot of the... the different, because you had so many gangs in this.
Yeah.
You had to dress them up in different clothing. So it is hard to lock down a time period,
mm-hmm.
unless you were just alive then, you know, and I certainly wasn't.
Yeah. Even the riffs, like, they're wearing just robes. Like, yeah, they're not wearing any time specific thing. They're wearing robes.
Yeah. This was after, like, I think, like, the black community got really into martial arts films from like, Bruce Lee and Sonny Chiba and that.
Is this when the movie, the what are those called?
Martial arts movie?
No.
Exploitation
films?
Films. This is like just right after the time of exploitation.
Okay.
But a lot of those black exploitation films, like, they're doing karate in that. Mm-hmm. And like Bruce Lee was known for, he was like one of the first people to teach black people karate.
Mm.
So I think that's where that whole riffs gang comes from.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because they all have like they're always standing in formation and wearing mm-hmm. like robes, and then they have like they don't have guns and knives. They usually have like bow staffs or nunchucks. Yeah, or
someone of them,
like that.
One of them had a chain. I saw at one point.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the costuming is very timeless, and I love that aspect of this film. You can watch it any time period and be like, oh, okay, I can see this happening.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Yeah. And I love the concept of these guys having to like make their
fight.
Way.
Well, yeah. Make, yeah.
Yeah. Run, sneak fight, their way. Sneak. Yeah. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
It like
and not with, just from the cops, everyone in the city.
Yeah.
Is after them.
Any gang, any cop, everything. Like they're completely outnumbered.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I always think about that. Like, because we're from Houston, so I'm like, okay, what if this happened here? Like, obviously, they would all meet in the center of town and, like, downtown. Yeah. But, like, where would the Warriors be from? Galveston?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Which is, like, pretty far. That's, like, a maybe 45-minute hour drive.
Well, I mean, they said an hour on the train.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But here, you know, everybody would use cars.
Yeah.
Because we're a motor city.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, we'd be like the Shipley Donut Boys and the Jimmy Chans.
What else?
I don't know.
I can't think
of what our gang names be?
Something. I don't know.
Oh, the James the Coney Strohs. Island Boys.
The James Coney Island. Yeah.
That's a hot dog restaurant.
Yeah. In Houston. What other Houston specific places are there?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, there'd be like Third Ward.
Yeah, and then people from Sharpstown would be like the Sharps or something like
that.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Biller. There's different areas of Houston. It's kind of similar to New York, and it has all those different little locations. Like Sharpstown is right next to Chinatown, which is next to the Galleria area, which is next. Like there's so many different little locations inside the city. Yeah,
there's...
Are other cities set up like that? I've not really been outside of Texas very much.
They all have like little neighborhoods in
areas. But like is Chicago similar to like
They all like when you hear people talk about Chicago or New York or LA, they always say like
I'm from the Bronx or I'm from Long Island or I'm from
Well, those are boroughs. Well, Long Island's a suburb.
Yeah.
And then like Brooklyn is a borough, but Brooklyn is huge. Brooklyn has like, there's a neighborhood called Williamsburg that's in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But Houston is just so big.
Yeah.
And there's like 200 little neighborhoods. But it's the same thing. Like I remember when I was in Chicago, they have Wrigleyville, which is where Wrigley Stadium is. But there's just tons of little neighborhoods all over the place.
Because I know that there's like neighborhoods, even in small cities, there's neighborhoods, but like it's all Beaumont.
Yeah.
People don't say like, oh yeah, I'm from this area in Beaumont. Like people in New York say, oh, I'm from the Bronx.
Right.
Or I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from wherever else. But in like in Houston, like they say the same. Oh, I'm from Bel Air. Like if you're in Houston, like you're, oh yeah, I live in Bel Air.
Yeah, but Bel Air's not Houston.
Exactly. Because it's part of, it's like in the middle of Houston, surrounded by Houston, but it is not Houston.
Yeah.
Or I'm from Sharpstown, or I'm from this, I'm from Pasadena, which is a suburb.
Yeah. But like, you always have to specify, like when you meet somebody, you're like, oh, you're from Houston? What part? And then you have to be like, oh, the Southwest side. Like, oh, we're in the Southwest.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm from the Galleria area.
Yeah.
So it's kind of similar. I think New York is the is one of the most isolated, where it's like, this is this location, this is this location. And people identify themselves by those locations more so. Right.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But we have those, but not as much as New York.
Maybe not.
Identified as that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know, because of the whole borough system there.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have, like, you know, because in Manhattan, you have, like, Harlem and Upper East Side, Lower East Side, Chelsea, like, all these different places. And it's tiny. Like, New York has such a small footprint.
Mm-hmm. But I think if people say that they're from Manhattan, they're talking about that whole area. Like people that are from Brooklyn.
I've never heard anybody say they're from Manhattan, though.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I have heard people say I'm from Brooklyn or I'm from Bronx.
Yeah, people definitely say it when they're from.
So maybe New York is like based off of, you said boroughs?
Yeah, boroughs. Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, Staten Island, Queens.
Yeah. Yeah, because people are, oh, I'm from Queens.
Yeah.
So those specific areas, but they're not saying like, oh, I'm from New York. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Staten Island.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. But we don't really do that here.
No, we
like
don't.
They do.
Well, I don't really know.
Like if someone's like, oh, you're from Houston, where in? We'll say, oh, yeah, Sharpstown. We have those little areas.
But not everybody knows Sharpstown. Like usually, like I feel like when I would meet somebody, when I didn't live here and I'd meet somebody else from here, I'd always be like, oh, I'm from the Southwest side.
Mm-hmm.
It's like broken up into those four quadrants.
Yeah.
And I would, and if they knew the Southwest side, it'd be like Sharpstown specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know what any of this has to do with the movie we just watched. You heard it.
It's gangs. How would we do this show here? How would this movie happen here?
I don't know.
Because we don't really have those boroughs. I mean, we have neighborhoods. Anyways.
Yeah, sorry, we're rusty. We haven't done this in over a month. So, you want to get into the movie?
Yeah.
Okay, so the movie starts with the opening credits, and there is a really awesome shot of the Wonder Wheel at the Coney Island theme park, which I've always wanted to go to this theme park,
mm-hmm.
and I don't even know if it's still there, but it's like, I think it's supposed to be like one of America's first theme parks.
Hmm. I know that Coney Island is like a really big... it's famous for being like this boardwalk of this amusement park on a boardwalk.
Yeah.
And I know that a lot of people go to it,
mm-hmm.
but that's all I really know.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that's where the hot dog started, maybe.
I don't know. I feel like the Coney started in like Michigan or something.
Hmm.
But anyway.
I don't know. I know they have hot dogs there.
Yep. Famous for their hot dogs. So what did you think of that shot of the Wonder Wheel?
I didn't know what it was. I just thought, oh, a Ferris wheel.
Well, it says Wonder Wheel.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, I think that's one of the more iconic shots in this movie. I love it.
I think it's because I just don't know other geographical...
I mean, the only reason I know the Wonder Wheel is because of this movie.
Oh, okay. Well,
I wouldn't know what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a...
But it was aquarium. Cool to see, like, Coney Island.
Yeah. Here we have this thing. It's called the aquarium, but it's not really an aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little, what would you call it? Tourist attraction?
Yeah.
But they have a...
Tourist trap.
Tourist trap, yeah. And you can see some fish. But it's not a museum or a zoo or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a Ferris wheel, and it's lit up at night. And I really love it. I love walking by it. It's so cool looking. But it always makes me think about this movie whenever I see it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cute.
And then
told you it's his favorite.
What did you think of the music in this? Because the music comes out real hot in the beginning.
I thought the music throughout the whole movie was really good. It really underscores the whole show. Even with the radio DJ, when she starts talking, all of her music choices carry the movie forward. And I never felt like the music in the movie stopped the show or hindered it in any kind of way. It was all part of the storytelling, and it was really well done.
Yeah. I think that especially the, like, it's sort of a synthy sounding score, but it's kind of creepy and kind of horror movie ish, but it starts like right out of the gate and it's like,
wee-no-wee!
Yeah. You know, it really sets the ambience of the tone. It's not. Yeah. Go.
Peace.
That was our daughter asking for food. She's 9. She can help herself. But anyway, it doesn't, the music doesn't, you know, tell you how to feel like in a Steven Spielberg movie where you're like, this is triumphant. This is sad.
This is telling me how to feel, but it just underscores it.
It underscores it and creates an ambiance for it. And then you have this DJ, that's kind of, I don't know. She's not even a narrator, really.
Mm-mm.
But she's communicating with all the gangs.
Yeah.
And she must be in the Riff's pockets or whatever.
Yeah.
But when she plays a song, it's a needle drop. And it's perfect. Mm-hmm. And they probably didn't have a lot of money to pay for a soundtrack in this movie. So they're like, okay, she gets to play 3 songs. We got to pick them very carefully. Specifically. Yeah.
I thought the music in this movie like fit all of it very well. I loved that the gangs were like kind of whispering to each other, hey, we're gonna go meet up with Cyrus, and then like, who's Cyrus? And he's like this big, so they're like whispering about this guy, about this event that they're about to go to, but it's like little tidbits of like what's going to be happening. So you don't get a really good picture of it yet until we get to the location that they're actually going to.
Yeah. This is a really cool way.
So it leaves you in suspense.
Yeah. This is a really cool way to introduce all the characters and sort of drop some exposition that's going to be happening. So you find out that each gang member is having like little one-on-one conversations with each other. Mm-hmm. While they're waiting for the train to show up, and they're like, okay, so there's a truce.
Yeah.
9 delegates from each gang.
No weapons.
No weapons, right? So they're like saying like, okay, no, they use slang. So like, nobody can be packing.
Mm-hmm.
And they got one guy with them who's like a graffiti artist.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like younger than the rest. And he doesn't look like a real tough guy like the rest of them. And he's like, they just brought him because they want him to spray paint
to tag
Warriors.
Everything.
Yeah.
So that everyone knows that the Warriors were there.
Yeah. And so they're kind of, they're weary of the whole situation because they're like, well, it's a truce, but do you think other gangs are going to stick to it like we are? And then, you know, then we meet like Ajax, who's like a hothead. He's like, I want to waste some heads on the way. And like, no, you just soldier and keep your mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But one of the things that whenever this was happening, I thought there were only gangs. I didn't know that there were like this was happening in like a real place. I thought it was gangs had taken over the city and it was just gangs.
Okay.
So I didn't know that there were also civilians until we like got to the train and there were other people there. Then I was like, oh, okay, there are other people. It's just these gangs are kind of going to come together.
Yeah.
That's what I thought was happening. It was just like, oh, all the gangs are going to come together. Maybe it's going to be a big fight or something. That's what I thought.
Oh, yeah. That would make sense. Yeah, they don't want to give too much information because they want you to be in suspense for when they get there. For the ride down there, you're a little bit scared.
I was like, what's going to happen? Are they going to be, is this going to be this big brawl?
Yeah.
All hand-to-hand combat. Like, I didn't know what it was going to be.
Yeah. And this whole beginning scene is like a big montage because the Warriors are waiting and getting on the train and they're talking to each other, but also they're showing us other gangs that are also going to this big meeting. And they're all, every gang is dressed pretty much the same.
Yeah. Well, all of the gangs are different, but all nine members are dressed very similarly.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. All nine members have like on, you know, quote unquote colors.
Yeah.
And, but each gang is wildly different from the others. Like you've got one who's wearing like roller skates and overalls. You got some Chinese gang that's wearing like some 16th century, like Chinese clothing, I guess. I don't know what to call it.
I didn't remember seeing them. I remember the mimes.
They were literally mimes, not the baseball furies?
No, the mimes. They were in the very beginning. They had like red hats and striped shirts and their faces were white.
Okay.
They like come through like a train gate.
Yeah, there was one gang that looked like tap dancers because they had like sequin vests on. You remember them? Yeah, some of them, I want to know who the people were who had to sit around and like come up with all these ideas.
Costumes for them.
Yeah, the different gangs. But of course, by far the most memorable are the baseball furies.
Yeah.
If you see this movie once, the one thing you're going to remember is the gang that dress up like baseball players and paint their face.
Their faces paint was weird.
Yeah, it didn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. Especially the yellow one. He looked like a zombie.
Yeah, it probably just didn't look that great on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so
they all meet up at somewhere, some park, right?
Right.
And that's where they're going to meet Cyrus, who is the lead guy of the biggest gang. So they all meet up, and Cyrus starts talking about how he's saying, like, there's tons of us. If we all band together, we can take over the police, and this can be our city.
Yeah, and Cyrus is the leader of a gang called the Rafts. The gang.
Are they the Rafts or the Riffs?
The Riffs.
Oh,
because so, people say riffraff.
Oh,
but yeah, it's the Riffs, and they're the biggest gang, it looks like, and they're the black karate gang, or for lack of a better term, I guess. But he's the leader of them, and he gets up there and he's like, "Look, we could own this whole town if we stop beefing with each other and like band together
and beef with the police."
Yeah, instead of protecting our turf, we could be more aggressive and we could own this whole town.
Yeah.
Which
it can all actually be your turf.
Yeah. And even though we're not gang members, we're sitting there like, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, you could do that. Good job.
Which makes me go like, why am I rooting for the gang member?
Yeah.
But it's effective. And this guy's speech is great. What do you think of his performance?
He was great. He really rallied everyone up. Like and the way that he spoke, it wasn't condescending in any kind of way. It was like, hey, he seemed like he had bigger plans and he really knew what everyone was wanting.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, I know that we can all get it together if we just work together. And he was really like, he would make a fantastic politician.
Yeah. I feel like he watched, like Martin Luther King's I Had a Dream before he did that or something. Cause like sort of the way he makes his voice sound.
You know? I didn't recognize that, but I would have to watch it again.
Or maybe not Martin Luther King, but some other speaker.
4 score and 7 years ago.
I don't mean to compare, like, you know, a great civil rights leader with a gang guy in a movie, but that is what it made me think of.
Like a very fan, like he did a great, I mean, he did a good speech though.
Yeah, but it felt like inspirational. It didn't feel like cult leader.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like I'm going to inspire these people to achieve something greater
than what they are right now.
Yeah. Whereas like cult leader is like, you know, follow me and we'll get into the kingdom of heaven and weird shit like that. And then, of course, his fate, like the thing everybody always quotes from him is, can you dig it?
Yeah.
Which I love.
So
meanwhile, this is going on and everybody's watching. Everybody's really into it and enamored by it. And this gang who's wearing like, what would you call them? They're like greasers?
I guess. They had like black hats. They looked like bikers.
Yeah, they were wearing a lot of leather.
Yeah. Leather daddies?
No, they definitely aren't leather daddies.
I'm kidding. I'm just joking.
That would be a great gang,
though. I know, that would. That would have been a fantastic gang. It makes me think of, this movie makes me think of Can't Stop the Music.
Can't Stop the Music. Each one of the village
each one of the village like people was gang. A different gang. The construction worker gang.
Yeah, and you had the cops too. Yeah. When you think about it,
they are kind of our gang. If you think about it.
Yeah.
But what was I saying?
Again, we haven't done this in over a month.
I know. Break.
But anyway, they pass a gun to the main guy. I think his name is David Patrick Kelly. He's been in a lot of movies. He always plays like a real intense guy. But he's been in like Commando. He was in The Crow. He's a good actor. And he points a gun at Cyrus and shoots him.
Mm-hmm.
And then all hell breaks
loose. Well, of his gang members pass him the gun.
Yeah,
because they were checking people on the way in. I don't know how they snuck the gun in.
I don't know.
But because the other people were checking people to make sure that they didn't have guns or any weapons. So they pass him the gun, and then he aims and he shoots him off the platform he was standing on.
Yeah. And then also at the same time, the cops show up and turn on the lights on them. So everybody is just like, it's complete chaos.
Yeah.
Because the guy speaking gets shot and the police show up to bust them all.
And one of the warriors, while he's making his speech, the really curly haired one, he walks down because I guess he's really inspired by what Cyrus is saying before he gets shot. And he makes his way down and he sees the guy shoot him. And he turns around, he sees the gun in his hand, and then he aims it at him to try to shoot the warrior guy, but he ducks, gets out of the way. And then the leader of the warriors goes down to Cyrus to see like, oh my gosh, like what? See, I don't know if he's trying to see if he can help or something. But the guy that shoots him tells the Riffs that the warriors are the one that shot.
Yeah. He says Cyrus. It's the warriors who did it. And then so like they start attacking he's the leader. I forget his name, but they start attacking him. And then eventually the Riffs get to him and I guess kill him. Essentially.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
And so the rest of the warriors take off and they all run to some graveyard.
Next to the park, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know where.
And they're hiding from the cops just to wait till they can go. So, and there's a train coming by. So they have to run to go to get on a train.
Yeah. So they meet up in this graveyard and they're like, okay, what the hell are we going to do? Because the whole city is going to be after us now because they think that we killed Cyrus. And Swan and Ajax.
But they don't know that they think that they killed them.
Yeah.
The only one.
Oh, yeah, they don't.
None of them think that. They're all like, oh, the truce is still. Is the truce still up? Are we still good on the truce? Because they're thinking that the other gang members are going to be in a truce with them.
Right. Yeah.
So they have no idea.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But anyway, they're like, okay, they killed our main guy. So now Swan is war chief. And you may recognize Swan because he was in Xanadu, which is pretty much the opposite of this movie.
Yeah.
And I think it came out 1 year later. And probably ruin this guy's career. But they, him and Ajax beef because Ajax is a hothead and all he wants to do is fucking fight and call everybody the pejorative for gay.
Yeah.
He says it like a good three or four times.
At least four times. I hated him. I was like, when is he going to die?
Yeah. You are not supposed to like this character. And I think that's why they made him say the F word so many times is because they don't want you to like him. But nobody else really does that. There's not really any other homophobia in this movie except for that guy. So they're like, okay, we got to make a run for the train. But then we find out that the Riffs have a radio DJ in their pocket who is going to communicate to all the gangs.
Tell them what's up.
Yeah. And she is Chief from Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego. So the whole movie, every time she got on the radio, I expected her to go, good work, gumshoes, finding Carmen Sandiego. But she never did because that show didn't come out until many years later.
Yeah. And it doesn't make sense for this movie.
Yeah.
Anyways, so she tells everyone that the warriors in like this like kind of code, hey, all you boppers out there, which one of the gangs is called boppers.
Yeah.
But she tells them.
But that's just, I think it, they're using that as a nickname for like gangbangers or whatever.
Yeah. The tap dancers are the boppers.
The tap dancers?
Yeah, the tap the ones that have like the glittery vests. This one?
Okay. No, you don't have to spin it around for okay. me to see it.
but the she tells them like, hey, the warriors are everyone has a should be out looking for the warriors.
Yeah.
Because the Rifts want them alive or dead.
Mm-hmm.
So
bring I think they want them alive though.
Preferably alive. If not dead.
Right.
But they want all of them.
Yeah. So there's somewhere in the city where there's an elevated train above them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a like a short bus full of gang members in it that are they see and they're like, okay, we got to outrun the bus.
Yes.
And they barely make it to the subway because mm-hmm. they're trying to make it to like some stairwell to get up into the elevated
yeah.
train. And like they barely get away. And then the radio DJ gets back on and was like, the Gramercy boys.
Yeah.
We're in a, oh, just barely missed them. They were able to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cool because then like she's also giving away their, where they are.
Yes. So everyone knows how to stop them.
Right.
So the next thing that happens to them is that there's a fire on the railway. So they have to stop the train and get off.
Yeah, but first, they it goes to the Rogues, and every time they go to the Rogues, for some reason, the main guy, David Patrick Kelly, he's on the phone with someone,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know who the hell he's talking to.
I don't know either. No.
He's always like, yeah, okay, we'll do that. All right. It's like, wait, who the hell are you talking to?
Yeah, that was never mentioned in this movie at all, like who, why they wanted to kill him. Why they didn't want this truce to happen. Like that was the only thing I didn't understand. I didn't get why they didn't want to be part of this or why they wanted to kill Cyrus.
Yeah.
And why they blamed it on the warrior specifically.
Oh, well, you were waiting for to find that out the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah. There was nothing that told me, like, especially like with these calls, I expected there to be something that gave us like, oh, like this is the this is his reason why.
Hmm. I wonder if there was in the book because this is based on a book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because at the end of the movie, I mean, spoiling it, who cares? If you hadn't seen the movie, that's your problem. He says, they're like, why did you do it? And he's like, I just like doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, the guy's just like, I'm just an agent
that's
of chaos.
Not a, that's not a reason.
Yeah, that's not a good reason.
And I most kinda, people don't. I feel like no one really does things without an actual reason.
No, not really. But I just kind of, I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's probably maybe the worst part of this movie is that yeah. they never explain why. They just kind of have that easy out. But that's what I didn't like about that whole the Dark Knight movie with the Joker.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I'm an agent of chaos. And I was like, okay, great. Big deal.
Yeah. I think the best thing you can do for a villain is to give them a reason why
mm-hmm.
they are a villain.
Yeah.
Because everyone needs a reason. No one's just bad. No one's just bad. They have something behind it. Like even like Jeffrey Dahmer, he was curious and wanted a sex doll zombie. So he was experimenting on people. So that's why he did those evil, disgust. I mean, there's part of it.
Yeah, it was. Well, most male serial killers, they kill for sexual gratification.
Yes.
Yeah.
But so that's there was the reason.
That's the reason, yeah.
But there's always a reason. There's
yeah,
never,
well, I mean, if they wanted to eat the easy way out, they could have just been like, the guy could have just been like, because I wanted to fuck everybody's day up. Would have been better than I just like doing stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Like give me a reason that he hates Cyrus. Cyrus did something to him or his gang.
Yeah, that could be
that done.
Yeah, it's just a beef.
It could have been that. Yeah, that's
gangs
simple.
Beef all the time.
All the time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Easy peasy.
Yeah,
and it could have been shoehorned in such an easy way.
Yeah, really could have. Maybe there was something they cut from that were those phone calls. I don't know. And then one of my favorite things from this movie is like they're at a newsstand like buying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they got like they're taking like chocolate, I think. And he the other guy is like, we should get out of here because they're gonna find out it's us. And he's like, no, they think it's the Warriors. They're looking for the Warriors.
Yeah.
And you're seeing how crazy David Patrick Kelly is. And then the lady goes, hey, what about the money you owe? And he turns around and goes, for what?
Yeah, and he throws the chocolate at her.
Yeah, he throws something at her. It's one of the best line reads in this whole movie.
Something else that I noticed is there's a lot of rain in this movie.
Uh-huh.
I felt like they just wanted to keep these boys wet.
Well, it doesn't really rain so much as it looks like they wet down the streets before they started shooting.
But also, there was one point where literally they were running in the rain.
Oh. It must have just been raining that day.
I don't know. Maybe.
Because I don't think they...
But it was... Because the very first scene when they were in the graveyard, they were soaking wet because they were... I guess they were running.
Yeah, they were sweating.
So they were supposed to be sweaty, but they were soaking wet. And I was like... Damn, they're wet. Like, why are they so sweaty?
Yeah. But if it was raining in this movie, I don't think it would have been on purpose because you know, that's a lot of time and energy to set up a rain machine.
Yeah. One of them even then says, when the fire happens, he says, why couldn't it rain now instead of earlier? Something to that effect.
Oh, okay.
It should have rained now instead of earlier. But I just, whenever... They were at the graveyard and then they ran out from the rain. I was like, they just want to keep these boys wet this whole movie.
Wet them down, boys.
Glistening bodies.
Glistening in the sun.
I will say, if you like watching half-naked men, this is your movie. If you are if you like looking at men, it's a great movie for you to watch. I'm talking to all my gay fellas out there. But there is the F word thrown around a couple of times. So,
yeah.
Just be cautious of that.
I mean, come on. We watched Monster Squad the other day and they were throwing around homophobic slurs and stuff in a kid's movie.
Yeah.
But I wonder,
I will say, you will see lots of bare chest.
I wonder what the gay community thinks about this movie.
I don't know.
Because, you know, like.
Most of the cast is men.
Yeah.
There's like. Five women.
I'm just always surprised on what movies and television shows and like people like catch on with a gay community.
Yeah.
Like I'll find out like Britney Spears is a gay icon. I was like, I would have never guessed that.
Oh, really?
Not in a million years. Yeah.
Hmm.
It's just, it's weird who they latch on to, you know? And then like they make movies like Brokeback Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
That's like about gay
for
people
gay
and they're like
no, this
they're,
stupid
and they're like no this movie's terrible I don't want to watch that shit.
Yeah,
so it's just always interesting to me what people latch on to. The most recent thing I found out was Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which is a very homophobic movie.
Really?
Like, yeah, very, like there's a lot of gay panic in it, but there's a lot of like gay people who were like have an affinity for it.
Hmm.
Because they see it as an allegory for somebody coming to terms with their sexuality.
Oh.
So we'll watch that for this podcast.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right. So anyway, the Warriors are going through a part of town that is the Orphans Turf, which the Orphans are a, what do they call, like, they say like, oh, you're a heavy gang. Mm-hmm. Well, this is kind of like a small time gang. They said maybe of like 30 people, I think.
Oh, no. They said they have a lot of numbers, but they're not very good.
Yeah, they're not heavy, but I think he said they have big numbers, and he's like, how many? And I swear they say 30.
Oh, okay, maybe.
But they never say how many is a lot. So
yeah.
Anyway, they're such small time that they weren't even invited to the meeting with all the other gangs. And so they're like, okay, we got to figure out how to move through these guys' turf. And Swan and that curly haired guy,
mm-hmm.
start being diplomat. And like that Ajax, like, when did you become a fucking diplomat? Because he just wants to fight everybody.
Yeah.
So they go to talk to the leader of the orphans, and this guy's like, hey, how come we weren't invited to it? Like, we're heavy. We're and he's like, okay, well, I don't remember. What do you remember what he said to them? They're like trying to appease him.
Oh, they said like, oh, we saw you in the news, and you had done some bust. That was real heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something like just to fluff their feathers.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they fluff their feathers. I like that. Yeah. So they try to kiss this guy's ass just so that they can move through their turf without having to fight him.
And then, they were going to allow them to. Yeah. And then this girl walks out, one of the only few actual females in this movie.
One with speaking role.
Yes, with a speaking role. She comes out and she's kind of rude to them. It's like, you orphans, y'all letting everyone walk over your turf. You can't stand up for yourself. Yeah, she says
if you just let everybody move through your turf, if you let them come through your turf, you're setting up precedent.
Yeah.
And then everybody's just going to walk over your turf. And then you won't have anything after a while.
And so he says, okay, well, you can walk through as long as you take off your colors. And the guys are like, fuck you.
Yeah. So, I mean, even if you know nothing about gangs, you know, the one thing is like, you don't take your colors off.
Yeah.
You always represent your gang. So they're like, no, we're not going to take our vests off. And then they talk shit to that girl. Because now, of course, none of them like her.
Except Ajax. Ajax wants to sleep with her. Wants to, that was one of the first things he said in the movie. He's like, maybe on the way there we could find some Betty.
Yeah, that's right.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, he's always talking about it. So they move on, and they try to walk through the turf, and then they run into that girl again.
Yeah, she like sneaks away, and then they run into her. And she, I guess, wants to join them. And then Swan says the most disgusting line I've... this pissed me off. I was like, I liked him until this point. He said, well, we could just run a train on you. And I was like, what the fuck? Disgusting.
Yeah.
Because they keep saying that she's this whore. But she's not... She keeps saying that she's not sleeping with any... Like, she doesn't sleep with any of them. She tries to sleep with Swan, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she even does later admit that, like, she sleeps around later in the movie. But, like, she's just this girl who hangs around with gangs and stuff. Like, I don't know, maybe you call her a hood rat or something like that. But she's just one of the, like, girls who hangs around with male gangs for protection or whatnot. And then, I mean, how else would you buy your protection from a gang other than offering yourself up?
Yeah.
I guess is where they're trying to go with this, but it seems kind of unclear, maybe.
Yeah, it's not... I don't like that part.
Yeah, I didn't like it either, but, you know, in the context of this movie, they're gangs.
Yeah.
So what do you expect? And then I also like that later in the movie, when we get to it, I'll talk about it, but for most of this movie, you're like, oh, this is just a movie about, like, gangs beating up each other and running away from each other and turf and all that stuff. But later in the movie, there is a little bit of a commentary about, like, what makes these people like this or, you know, the society that they come from. But anyway, the orphans show up in bigger numbers and
they throw a Molotov cocktail at them.
Yeah. They throw it at a car next to them. The car blows up.
Yeah. And they run away with her.
Yeah. And they run away with... her name is Mercy, I think.
So they then go to the train, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting because there's a train there that's going to supposed to go to Coney Island, but it's just sitting there. I guess someone had stopped the train, so it wasn't going to move. And then cops show up, so then they start racing around, and they get split up. And Marcy is with the curly haired boy that saw. Who shot Cyrus. Swan is on his own. And the, like, three other guys are separated.
All right. Well, let's go back a little bit.
Or is it five of them?
Well, after that, after the run-in with the orphans, they go to the Rift's lair, and somebody tells the new leader of the Rift's that they ran in, they had a run-in with the orphans.
Mm-hmm.
And but they made it past them, and the guy's like, "I've never even heard of that game."
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and then
I didn't catch it.
Yeah, he says like they're not in our network or something like that.
Oh.
And then we have another update from the chief. Good work, Gumshoes, but a small-time outfit, the orphans, let them go or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
it's like she's like a baseball announcer or like a sports announcer kind yeah. of. So then they run around this train station, and a few of them get on the train to go further away to where they need to go. Swan gets pushed somewhere else. He's separated, and then.
Well, they get split up because the train gets stopped because of a fire.
No, this is a different time.
Oh, well, it's the cops chase after them.
Yeah, this is when the cops are chasing after them.
Yeah,
and they get split up, mm-hmm. but they're like going up and down the different staircases, and they all separate at different places. Swan is separated from everyone. He's by himself. Mercy and the curly guy are together, and then the rest of them are all together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bigger group gets chased by the baseball boys.
Yeah, Swan and Ajax and the guy who wears the cowboy hat, they get chased by the baseball Furies.
Is Swan part of that?
Yeah. He's behind them. He's behind Ajax and the cowboy hat guy.
Maybe that's later.
And he catches up to them. And helps them beat up the baseball Furies. But it's really cool because they're running through like Central Park or mm-hmm. something from the baseball Furies. And they have, you can see the lights that they hung up in the trees.
Yeah.
So that the camera would be able to pick them up running yeah. through it. And what did you think of like the fight choreography?
It was fantastic. The whole show, I later on talk about it whenever they're fighting the overall boys.
Uh-huh.
That's not their name. But the roller skating overall guy, when they fight him, I was like, this fight choreography is fantastic. The whole show has really great fight choreo.
Yeah. They get all the angles right.
Yeah.
You know, they don't ever cross the 180 line. And like they do slow motion mm-hmm. when it's a good time for slow motion. They use like worm angle, like not worm's eye view. Is that what they call it? Where the camera's on the ground and it's up.
I don't know.
They use that sometimes. But yeah, it all looks real. It all looks like they were making contact with each mm-hmm. other. It looked really good.
Yeah, and everyone played it really well. But before they do get chased by the baseball Furies, the girl and Mercy and the other guy, they're on a platform and a cop meets up with them. And the cop gets the curly haired guy and throws him into the, like they're fighting.
Yeah.
And he gets thrown in front of a train. So he dies. And I was like, really? The one guy that saw who actually killed him?
I heard he was beefing with the director. Like he wasn't getting really? Along. Yeah. So they're like, okay, we're going to write you off the movie. So that whole scene happened because they just wanted to get rid of that. They wanted to get rid of that actor.
Oh my gosh. Just heads up. Whenever he said that, my jaw dropped. What? That is, I get it.
But, it happens. Like some, yeah. you know, a lot of actors are really difficult.
Yeah.
I heard that on Fury Road, like the guy who played Mad Max, I forget his name, Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was being a dick on set. And so they had to do a lot of like creative editing because he was being such an asshole.
What? On oh set. My gosh. Yeah.
But that guy's in everything now. Like he's a big star, so he can afford to be an ass. Ugh. Whereas like this guy who is probably just some regional actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just gets written out of
kill him
movie.
Out of the show. Good. I guess.
But it looked good. Like that was one of the times where they used slow motion really effectively. Yeah. Because they roll on the ground and the cop tosses them mm-hmm. into the subway tracks.
And then you see light.
Yeah, and all you do is see light. It looked really good to me.
Yeah.
And just to let people know who are listening, you can't just, when you're in post, decide that you want to slow something down in slow motion. You have to do it on set. You have to do it in camera because you have to set the the frame speed to like 120 frames a second.
Mm-hmm.
And then slow it back down to 24 frames a second in post. If you shoot something in 24 frames and then decide you want to slow it down in post, it's going to look like garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see slow motion, especially in an old movie, it was done on purpose. It was done in camera on the day. The director is saying, like, I want this to be in slow motion because I think it'll look good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I know, like, that's such an old trick, but it has to be carefully planned out when mm-hmm. you use slow motion, especially back in the 35 millimeter days.
The baseball Furies chase after them, but then they find out that they're not that strong, actually, and they just beat them up with their own baseball bats.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny. It was – the baseball fairy part was a really funny part, and I really enjoyed that part. Especially them coming out of the basement with their makeup on and then grabbing the baseball bats, being like, oh, yep, we're going to swing these bats.
Yeah, I really think everything with the baseball Furies is some of the most memorable stuff in this movie. In a movie with a lot of memorable stuff.
But the guy, Ajax, I guess you said his name was Ajax?
Yeah.
He is such an asshole. I kept waiting for him to die. And literally when the other guy died, I was like, why can't Ajax die? because I hated him. Especially because he kept using the F word. But he then like meets this lady at the park. And how he got his due diligence. I wish it was.
Yeah, but also, just before this, we get another update from Chief about what happened. And then.
Oh, yeah, the baseball. I thought their jersey said baseball fries. And I was like, I just want fries now.
Yeah. I like to call them the baseball McFlurries. But then also the gang that's got split up, they are walking through town and they come across a female gang called the Lizzies.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lizzies,
but they don't realize that they're a gang.
No, they don't really realize that they're a gang. But also they're like one track mind. They're like, yeah, let's hang out with some chicks.
Yeah,
you know. So they're like,
get our luck's rocks
starting
off.
Yeah, they're like, our luck is starting to turn around.
But the young one is very cautious around them, and
his name is Rembrandt.
And is noticing things. And if you didn't notice, I noticed this when they were dancing all together and making out with everyone. They were all wearing the same shirt. All the women were wearing the exact same top.
Oh, were they?
To show them that they were in a gang.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So whenever the whole time, like, they were like dancing and doing everything, I was like, that's a gang. That's a gang. You're in a gang.
Well,
you're with a gang. They're going to get you.
One of the girls totally admits that to them and says, like, yeah, we're the Lizzies. We're a gang called the Lizzies. And they're like,
all right. Even before that, I was like, they're a gang.
But, like, the guys don't know that they're not with another gang. They just think, like, they like us. That's it.
Yeah.
And then that's when it goes back to the guys that are split up in the park. Mm-hmm. And they see a lady who's just reading a book at, like, 1 o'clock in the morning in the park. And Ajax is like, I'm going to go hit on that chick.
And he goes and hits on her, and she handcuffs him and blows a rape whistle.
Yeah. Well, at first, I like that they actually talk for a little bit. And she's like, oh, I like your muscles and all this stuff. And then
playing it up.
Yeah. And like it's so funny because she's pretending to be into him. She's not really, but then when he's like, oh my God, a chick actually likes me. Like, he doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Did you pick
up on
that? I
didn't catch that.
Like, he starts to get rough with her and stuff. And I'm like, this guy.
He's like, I like it rough.
Yeah. No, this guy totally comes off as like one of the, like a friend that I had in high school who's always talking about like girls and like screwing around with girls and like lying about hooking up with girls. Mm-hmm. And you were like, man, you wouldn't even know what to do if you did hook up with a girl.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, when I was in high school, I wasn't some Casanova, you know? I mean, but you had that, you always have that one friend or you know that one person who's like, yeah, and you know they're lying.
Yeah.
But that's what this part reminded me of. It's like, he doesn't know how to talk to a woman. He doesn't know how to even kiss a woman.
Yeah.
He just does it. He always has to say, you know, he call everybody the F word because
he has to feel macho and...
Yeah, to feel macho and to cover up for the fact that he doesn't actually even know how to have sex.
Yeah. And then after this, Swan has been separated from everyone and he is being followed by a roller skating guy in overalls. And he sees Mercy again. And the other guys kind of catch up with some of the other people after all of this. And they're like, we got to go find Swan. And so Swan is being watched by these guys. And Mercy's like, oh, well, these guys are watching you. Just heads up. And he's like, I know they're watching me. I can tell.
Yeah.
And then the other guys show up and he's like, okay, go hide over there. And then they go into a men's bathroom and they bring Mercy in there too.
Yeah. It was really cool. Cause like he, you know, he's walking through the subway and they're like following him silently.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you think he doesn't know. And I guess Mercy didn't either. Mm-hmm. Right. But then right as they're like, okay, now they know that I know and they're going to attack me.
Yeah.
You see the rest of the warriors come down a stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
And like they make eye contact with each other. Like, all right, let's.
Yeah, let's go to the bathroom over here.
Yeah. And I thought it was kind of a funny thing. Like they all go in the bathroom and Mercy goes, I can't go in there. That's the men's bathroom.
And he pushes her in.
Yeah. And that one, no, he comes out and he goes, what? I forget what he says. He's like, oh, shut up. And
yeah.
Pulls her in there. Yeah, but this is another great fight scene in what looks like a disgusting subway bathroom.
Yeah, this is when I said really great choreo. Like this part,
you really like this part?
The best choreo.
You think so?
Yeah, people were flipping all over the place, like glass all over the place. They exposed piping. Like they were able to do things with the piping. So
yeah, they really used the environment.
The whole environment was used, and it was really fun, cool.
Yeah.
Especially like seeing the urinals and like them being like thrown into it. It's like, ew, gross. But like all of that, it was a really fun environmental experience through the whole scene.
Yeah. I like my favorite part is when they throw somebody through a stall door and it just, mm-hmm. the stall door explodes in slow motion. It looked really good. Yeah. And then, we kind of skipped this part. We talked about it a little bit, but that woman turns out to be a cop, and then the cops show up.
Is that what she is? I thought she was just...
No, she was a cop.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, she...
I thought she was at first, and I was like, maybe she just had one in her pocket so she could be like, rape, rape.
No, she was a honeypot. But she handcuffs him to the bench.
Yeah.
And he starts trying to get free. And I thought it looked really good.
Like, oh, yeah.
And I saw an interview once that actor, James Remar, was talking about that was the scene he auditioned for, that he auditioned with. And he brought handcuffs to the audition and handcuffed himself to the table in the audition room. And I was like, that's badass.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you get a role.
Yeah.
And then the cops show up and hit him with a nightstick and he calls them wimps.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's it.
So they fight the gang and they win.
Yeah.
And then they get on the train and they're actually going back to Coney Island finally.
Yeah. But also we go back to the Lizzie's where they are, where the rest of the gang is. And Rembrandt is like not participating. He's like getting bad vibes.
Oh.
And
no, they already met back up.
That's not what my notes say. Because we didn't talk about what, like, the Lizzie's try to shoot him. They literally pull out a gun and try to shoot him.
Yeah. We did. I did skip over that.
Yeah. Well, that's what order is in my notes. Like, they fight him first and then.
They fight the Lizzie's first and then they meet back up and then they go find Swan. Yeah,
that's not what order is in my notes.
Well, because you put it in there wrong.
No, I didn't. How could I have done that? You just comment on your notes. I actually write it down scene for scene whenever we watch the movie.
Because
it's too hard for me to remember. I'm 40. Okay?
Hey, today is Joey's birthday. And he is 40 years old.
Yes, today I am 40 years old. And all day long, every time I make a mistake or do something stupid, I'm just, hey, I'm 40. This is the way it is. My memory is not that good. I'm 40.
His bones don't work anymore.
Bones don't work. my bones. Don't worry. Right. Okay. So then Rembrandt's getting bad vibes and he's like, man, just chill out. But then one of the Lizzies gets up from making out with that dude and
with a knife.
Yeah.
Slices someone's neck.
Yeah. And they cut Rembrandt too. Like he gets cut.
Oh, it's on his arm. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they literally pull out a gun on him and try to shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
And they run out and escape. And then that's when it goes to Swan and Mercy. They're in a tunnel, a subway tunnel, because they ran away from a cop after throwing a baseball bat at his shins.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
That was weird.
An interesting choice. He probably would have been able to get back up pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But they go through the subway and then they make out underneath.
Yeah. But this is also like when the movie kind of goes from just being about gang stuff to about like sort of a social commentary.
Yeah.
And like gives these characters more depth. And she talks about like she doesn't care. Like, yeah, she sleeps around with guys, but this is the life she's got.
Mm-hmm.
She sees other women who, you know, have children and they're poor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the life that they're stuck with. And she doesn't want that. And I thought it was really cool to like give the one female character who has a speaking line to give them that much depth.
Yeah.
And
it's her choice to do this. It's not because that's all she can do.
Yeah.
She wants to do this.
Yeah. Giving her some agency in a way. But also just to show you like the bleakness of these guys' situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like these guys wouldn't be in a gang if they didn't have to be.
Mm-hmm.
But they grew up in these bad neighborhoods and they don't really have opportunities.
Yeah.
And they make out and he stops and she's like, you know,
come on.
I want to do it. I want to do it in this nasty subway tunnel.
Gross. but he says, no, we got to keep going.
Yeah.
So they keep going. And she listens to him. Like, they're, you can tell that they're, he doesn't want to use her. I think he values her more than she maybe even does.
Maybe. Yeah. He seems to come around later in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe you were right.
I think
this did happen.
I think he's trying to scare her more than anything.
Yeah, it does. It does seem like he's,
in the beginning, like when he's like, oh, we could run a train on you. It's like he's trying to scare her.
Yeah. He doesn't really seem like he means any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is well played by that actor, too, I think. But I think you're right, because I just read my notes wrong. Oh, well. But I thought it was weird that in that one part of the subway, they had like a mannequin dressed up like a cowboy and some pinball machines out there.
I didn't see that.
You know, right when before they fight with the overhaul skate guys, there's like pinball machines. I was like, why would that be in the subway? That's weird.
Hmm. Maybe some subways had pinball machines.
Maybe. I don't know. Seems like they would get vandalized.
Give them something to do. I don't know.
1979 New York. All right. But then it cuts to there's some guy, one of the riffs is bringing some random gang member down to their little headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I think you want to talk to this guy. He knows who really shot Cyrus.
Yeah. And so we don't hear him say anything, but they come to him and say, hey, like you should really listen to this guy. He really knows who shot him.
Right.
So he has some important information for you. So they listen to him, but we don't get to hear it. And we're on the train. They sleep on the train back to Coney Island because it's really late. It's like super early in the morning by this time. And there's these two couples that get on the subway.
And they look like they came from the prom.
Yeah, something like that. So they were regular teenagers. And
also
Marcy sees them and she kind of looks at him like, oh, that's nice. But they look at her and they see her feet are dirty and that her clothes are kind of dirty and they're all kind of just not clean.
Yeah, and they have a very awkward ride with these prom kids. But this is another part of the movie that I think is supposed to be a commentary and sort of a like a look into what somebody who would join a gang's life would be like.
Yeah,
that they don't have choices. Like those. It's not very clear in the movie, but I think all the gangs are supposed to be teenagers, mm-hmm. especially the warriors. But they're obviously not. They're like people in their 20s. But they didn't get to go to high school prom. They didn't get to do all that that these privileged kids get to do. And I think it's an interesting commentary. And I like that it's quiet and they don't just come out and say it. Mm-hmm. Like none of the characters go, oh, I wish I could go to prom.
Yeah.
You know, so it really leaves it up into interpretation in a beautiful way. Mm-hmm. Like people, everybody could think something different.
Yeah.
Like, what did you think they were trying to say?
I thought very similarly, like they kind of saw that life of like, oh, like that's nice for them. But I mean, I don't get that privilege. I don't get that opportunity. I've never had that opportunity. So Marcy, instead of like doing anything, she just, instead of making a scene, she just closes her eyes.
Right.
To not see them. So that she doesn't have to look at them and to face that fact. That I thought that scene was done really beautifully. And then the kids at the next stop get off and one of the girls' corsages falls off and Marcy opens her eyes and they're not there anymore. And you can see like a hint of relief on her that she doesn't have to see that anymore. Cause she doesn't get to experience that.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always thought it was the part of it for me was like, they're on the train, but they don't really react to the prom kids all that much. Mm-hmm. But it was all, it's kind of like a thing like, look, don't pity us because we're poor and we came from poverty. Mm-hmm. You know, like we're not sad for ourselves. We're making the best we can with our lives by being in a gang.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't pity us.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what I take from it. Mm-hmm. Just me personally. But I like it.
But they get back to Coney Island and this was the moment when Swan really does something to show Mercy, like how he feels. He picks up the corsage and gives it to her and she's like, what's this for? And he goes, he says it's because he doesn't like to see things go to waste, but I think it's really because he saw it and he thought it was pretty.
Yeah. It's kind of like a gesture made to her like, hey, look, I like you and I mm-hmm. want you to be my girl.
Yeah.
So
it was really sweet.
Yeah. Moment. And there's another good line where he says, this is what we've been fighting all night to get back to.
Yeah.
Because they live in a shitty neighborhood or whatnot. And then that's when the rogues start to show up and they're in their big Cadillac hearse.
Yeah. Hey, I also wanted to make the comment that the makeup.
No more comments.
For the makeup. Oof. For Swan's busted cheek. Looked so bad.
I didn't even see it.
I think it was supposed to look like he had a gash in his cheek, but it just looked like a big blue marble. It was super shiny. It looked like another eyeball on his cheek. It was huge and it was very round. Not like circular, but like ovular.
Ovular.
It looked like an eyeball. Okay. It looked like an eye on his cheek. But it didn't sell well. I think it was supposed to be like, oh, he has like a busted cheek, but it looked bad. I don't know how much the show, like the movie cost or anything like that. But.
Well, you know, we're watching this in HD.
Yeah.
A movie that came out in 1979. So they were probably just like, no one will notice.
Yeah.
You know.
But yeah, they made it back to Coney Island and the people are coming after them. And so they know that they're behind them. I love this, the shot where they're like walking in front of them and the car's creeping behind them. And the rogue guy is like, don't let him out of your sight. And then when they turn a corner, they run underneath the pier and then they find a bunch of, things like junk to as weapons.
Yeah. It's just like, They're snapping like legs off of wooden tables that have been discarded somewhere.
Breaking glass bottles.
Yeah.
Pulling pieces of wood with a nail in it.
Yeah, like Streets of Rage stuff. And like, I'm mm-hmm. surprised I didn't find a whole turkey behind
a little turkey leg.
Yeah, like a little turkey leg behind a trash can. And
I just wanted someone to come out with like a whole foot hot dog to slap them with.
I got darts from the dart game. oh yeah, I got some skee balls. I'm gonna throw.
And so they're waiting underneath some type of bridge thing, and this is when that iconic glass clink, clink, clink.
Yeah.
Whenever that sound happened, I was like, "Are they making that? What is that sound effect?" And I was like, "It sounds like glass hitting together." But I was like, I thought it was like a sound effect that they had added onto the show. I didn't realize it was him actually hitting glass together. And I was like, I thought it was an effect that they added on later, or if it was part of a song or something. But that was really great, like soundscaping to add into the scene.
Yeah.
To antagonize. And
this whole movie, I'm surprised I haven't mentioned up until this point, the Foley work is really good.
Yeah.
And this is back when, like, they only recently started, like, doing Foley work. Before that, they would use a lot of just stock sound effects.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really good. Like, the whole soundscape and sound effects, everything. Like, you hear the waves a lot when they're in Coney Island.
Yeah.
Because they're so close to the beach. And it sounds really good. I don't know how they got that that sound. If they just stood out there on the ocean and listened, like, recorded it or what.
Mm-hmm. But,
sounds good. The bottles sound really good.
Yeah, but he says his warriors come out to play.
Yeah.
Which is that iconic scene that everyone knows, even if you haven't seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then so Swan is like, okay, we're going to take him down to the sand.
Yeah, so they meet him.
They call the beach.
They meet him on the beach.
Yeah, and this is such a great juxtaposition to every other scene in the movie. Where it's broad daylight, mm-hmm. there's the ocean instead of the city. It's a really, really cool juxtaposition. Mm-hmm. You're like,
we had them on our turf.
Yeah, they're on their turf, and also like this ordeal is almost over. It's just like we just got to get over this one hump.
Yeah,
and so they get out on there, and they're squaring up, and David Patrick Kelly pulls out a gun, and Swan has a knife.
Yeah,
so you're like, oh great, this can't be good. But he, like, dodges to the right and throws the knife, and it sticks in his arm.
Yeah.
Which is highly improbable, but I like it.
Yeah.
And
he's, like, crying like a little bitch.
Yeah. And at the same time, the Riffs show up.
Mm-hmm.
They know that it's not the Warriors now, and it was the Rogues.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, you guys are off the hook, mm-hmm. but we're taking these guys now.
And the Rogues are like, it was the Warriors! We were part of this! Whining like little bitches they are.
Yeah. What a little bitch.
And then the Warriors just kind of walk off in the sunset. Or not the sunset, off the beach.
Yeah, and we have
the waves rolling in.
It goes back to the chief radio DJ.
Yeah.
And she basically is like, okay, so
Sorry, Warriors.
And she's like, here, I'm going to play a song for you guys. And I don't know that song.
I don't know.
But, I mean, I've heard it. I don't know what it's called.
I wanted her to play this song. You ready?
Sure.
This is what I thought she was going to be playing.
The first song she plays, we didn't mention it, but it's Nowhere to Run. So, nowhere to run to, baby. Nowhere to hide. And that's playing when they're running away from that bus full of gang members. It's really good.
This is what I thought that would be playing. But I don't think this song came out by then.
Oh. All right, Aaron. So, this is a new podcast, mm-hmm. and we're not going to do no bullshit assessment anymore because who gives a shit?
Yep.
This is Slay the Cat.
Meow.
This is a podcast about slaying cats.
Mm-hmm.
A movie podcast. Aaron, on a scale of 1 to 9 lives,
mm-hmm.
how many cat lives did this movie take? One cat life being the least good and 9 being the best. A scale of 1 to 9, how many cat lives did this movie slay?
I would say this movie is worth 7.5 cat lives.
Seven and a half cat lives.
Yeah, out of 9.
Okay.
I wanted to go to 8, but there are some little... it's an 8. It's an 8. It 8 cat lives. It has taken a lot of these lives out of this cat. It's a pretty good movie. It has a lot of action in it. It's really fun to watch. It's not super long, so it's not... You're not sitting there forever just like, when is this going to be over?
The running time is perfect.
It's absolutely so perfect. And it was really fun to watch. The choreography, the fight choreography was great. The soundscape was really great. The music fit the story, and it really helped push the story along. The acting in it was pretty good for the most part. I mean, there may have been like a couple little... But other than that, like it was a really fun movie to watch. I would watch this movie multiple times. And I understand why this is your favorite movie.
Okay, this is not my favorite movie. All right, so now this is the part where you ask me.
Hey, so Joey, of 1 to 9 cat lives, how many cat lives would you give this movie?
Well, on a scale of 1 to 9 cat lives, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I thought maybe I'd see something in it this time that I was like, maybe I can point to this as not being that great or there's some sort of problem with it, but there isn't. Mm-hmm. It's 9 cat lives. This movie slays.
Told you his favorite movie.
No, this movie totally slays. I mean, there's a few
things. It slays the cat.
There's a few things in there, like the guy not having a reason why he killed Cyrus.
Yeah.
And then there's one or two bad actors in it, but as a whole, this movie just fucking owns.
Yeah, you're and right.
It came out in 1979. It got pulled from theaters because people were getting too rowdy.
Oh.
Right?
So I love
that. There was vandalism, and so it got pulled, and
it that shows you that it like really resonated with people.
Yeah, or maybe people in the 70s were nuts. But I don't know. But it got a cult following after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember when I was working at Blockbuster in the early 2000s, it came out on DVD. And I think it had like multiple special editions that came out. And it just kept picking up people and picking mm-hmm. up people. And then I think in like 2006, they made a Warriors video game.
Oh, that, cool.
Yeah. And it was like an open world game like Grand Theft Auto. But it was a Warriors.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. I never played it. But this movie has... It's become so popular over the years on DVD and streaming and all that, that it has literally transcended cult status. Everybody knows about this movie. Everybody loves it.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps getting released in all these special editions. It is a 9 cat lives movie.
It is. It's a really good movie. And your explanation even makes me want to change my number. Because
you could change it if you want. You can amend your score. But... Let me finish what I'm saying real quick, and then I'll ask you again. But it has so many amazing elements to it, and it's not just a beat-em-up or kind of like a horror movie or anything like that. It has a little bit of a commentary if people who want to dig a little bit deeper into the philosophy of the movie, they can do that if they want,
mm-hmm.
but it's not making you do it either. If you just want to watch it as an action movie, you can do that too. There's not very many movies out there like that that can have all these elements in it and still be so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is just a well-made movie for a low budget. And I've already said the thing about it being like a time capsule. So mm-hmm. It's just a 9 cat lives movie to me.
Yeah.
And would you like to amend your score?
Yeah. Okay. Well, because you've explained it very well. I do. It is very minimal that we don't see or understand why he wanted to kill Cyrus. I want to know about this book now.
Yeah, me too.
I wonder if it's on like
Audible
so that we can listen to it because I have a hard time reading books. but I think that's really, I like your explanation was really good. Even without it, I would want to watch this movie again and again.
Yeah.
If someone was like, "Hey, I want to watch a movie. I want some action. I want something that is interesting." I would put this in my arsenal of movies that I would show people.
Right.
I will say, hey, there's a little bit of the F word thrown around. It's from the 70s.
Yeah, so there's a fair amount of misogyny and homophobia in it, but also that fits into the context of the movie.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. If they were gang members that are, you know, left, like, you know, extreme left wing mm-hmm. gang member, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Sorry. In the context of the movie, it works. If you're talking about that movie we watched the other day, Monster Squad, where you have little kids mm-hmm. saying homophobic stuff, that doesn't fit in context.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Cool.
Before I get off on a tangent.
8.9.
8.9? Okay. So it's not perfect in your eyes.
I want to know why. I'm a curious person.
Oh, that's okay. Like, if you had given it two lives, that's fine too. Like, this is, it's an opinion. I know. It's based on an opinion. So I'm just glad that you liked it.
I really liked it.
And that you would watch it again. So.
So every time he watches it, which is at least twice a year, maybe once a year.
Just whenever it pops up on a streaming service, it's one of those.
It very often, I will watch it with him.
It'll pop up on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, you know, every 2 or 3 months or something like that. And every time it does, I'm just like, I gotta watch it. That Terminator 2, Terminator, No Holds Barred, or oh man, what's another one? It's just like anytime it comes up for free on a streaming service, I just have to watch it.
Yeah.
There's like a handful of movies that I love that much.
Yeah.
And it's not even that, because No Holds Barred is a terrible movie, but I just love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of his favorites.
It is. Yeah, I would say No Holds Barred is one of my favorites.
Hey, and it's okay for this movie to be one of your favorites, Joey.
Yeah, I know it is. I wouldn't call this movie one of my favorites. I do like it.
Okay.
But I don't know. Maybe it's because of crazy fans. A lot of things like I like, and then I find out how crazy the fans are about it and makes me not like it as much.
Mm.
One of the reasons I stopped watching wrestling is because fans are such assholes.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a little game we're going to be playing.
Ooh.
And this is Gangland.
Gangland.
Would you rather?
Oh.
Okay, Aaron. I'm going to give you a scenario of two different movies. And you're going to tell me which one you would rather, which scenario you would rather live in.
Okay.
Okay. So.
I'm closing my eyes so I can picture.
Okay. You are a half Italian, half Irish boy. In all your life, all you ever want to do is join the mob.
Mm-hmm.
Later in life, you get addicted to drugs because you're dealing them. And then you have to roll over on all of your friends and your family. So that you could be in witness protection program. Or
okay,
you come back from World War II and you have a real nice girlfriend, but then your dad gets shot and your brother gets shot. Your brother dies, but your dad lives.
Okay.
And you have to take over the family business, but it's the mafia business.
Oh.
Do you know these movies? We've watched both of them. One is The Godfather.
Yeah, The Godfather is the second one. The first one is Goodfellas.
Goodfellas. So, Aaron, would you rather be the main character of Goodfellas or the main character of The Godfather?
I think I'd rather be the main character of The Godfather.
Okay.
Because I would hate to... I don't know. These are both terrible. Those both terrible scenarios. I don't want to be part of a gang. I've never wanted to. That's never been a wish of mine.
Well, you have to choose one of these.
I know. Yeah.
At least in The Godfather, you get to be a war hero.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Godfather. Scenario two.
You're Al Pacino.
Al Pacino.
Okay.
I'm closing my eyes again.
All right. So you are a white supremacist who has a younger brother, and you're really good at getting other people to join your white supremacy gang.
Okay.
But one night, some black guys try to steal your car, and you go down there and you kill one of them. You take it too far and you get thrown in prison where you learn how not to be a racist.
Oh.
And then you get out of prison and you try to get your brother to also not be a racist.
Uh-huh.
And just when you do it, he gets shot by somebody.
And Who is that somebody? Is that somebody important?
A black guy that he picked on.
Okay.
And the second scenario is, would you want to be a guy who's part of a small gang,
mm-hmm,
and Patrick Swayze is your dad?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, daddy. And one night you get attacked by another rival gang called the Socs, and one of them gets stabbed to death, and you have to go in and hiding.
Mm-hmm.
But then you save some kids from a burning barn, and you're a hero.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what movies these are?
No, the second one, though. I choose the second one. I do not want to be a white supremacist.
But you're not at the end of the movie. Your brother's just dead.
And I was in the beginning.
I really think you should rethink this.
You do?
Oh, no.
What are those movies?
It was American History X and, what was the other one? Oh, The Outsiders.
Okay, I don't know either of those movies.
All right, one more.
Okay. Eyes are closed. They don't need to be, just they are.
Would you rather be a jet or a...
A shark?
Shark.
When you're a jet all the way. I was a jet.
Oh, you were?
I was in West Side Story.
That's right. Yeah, you were. Yeah. Now, too bad I didn't know you back then. I would have liked to see that show.
Yeah.
All right. So you were already a jet girl. I can't. I'm looking at these gang movies. I've seen some of them, but I don't remember the scenarios.
Oh.
So you'd rather be a jet. All right.
I mean, I'm not Hispanic, so that feels a little weird.
You're not Polish either.
Yeah.
All right, folks, that is going to do it. You can still email us at joeyandaaronpod@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to tell you what movie we're doing next because, frankly, I don't know.
Yeah.
So
listen for us in 2 more weeks, maybe?
Yeah. And don't forget to spay and neuter your cats.
Yeah.
All right.
Don't forget to slay and neuter your cats.
Later, bitches.
Bye.